Well, good afternoon, brethren. Yes, we had a problem coming down, too. It took us probably 20 minutes to half an hour longer than normal. And I'm sure Arthur was stuck in that traffic. So, yeah, it was a real problem. I wanted to mention, too, one thing that wasn't in the announcements was that in 2 weeks there will be a potluck in Denver combined. And it's just a general potluck. You bring anything you like. Just shaking. Gradually coming down. Okay. And also, I tried getting onto the Cybercast this morning. It's part of me. It didn't work. I downloaded the Flash Player. It should have worked. So I tried to send an email to Kevin, and that didn't work either. So we'll work that out with Kevin during the week. I'm sure that there will be a few problems, because a lot of times when we come down here, we attend services in Denver first via the Cybercast and then come down here. And I want to mention, too, I hope everybody that went to the camp out last week had a wonderful time. We sure did. The weather was outstanding, the best we've ever had. I don't think one drop of rain fell, if I remember. Now, we arrived there on Wednesday, and we got about 13 3/4 drops. Really nothing to speak of. So it was very, very nice. And we did make reservations for next year. It'll be the last weekend of June next year. So please mark your calendars. The last weekend in June next year. It will not be on Father's Day. Okay, well, throughout the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, God talks about blessing people and nations, and blessings you receive if you do what God asks. So my question to you are, well, what are blessings? How would you define them? If a person blesses another person, what do you do? How does God bless you and me? How could you bless God? Well, first of all, we'll define the word blessing. The blessing means, could be, and these are kind of very similar meanings, the act or word of a person who blesses, a favor or gift bestowed of God, the invoking of God's favor on a person, could be praise, devotion, worship, especially grace said before a meal, could be approval or good wishes to speak well of. Now, any of us could come up with other definitions, but they would be very, very similar. Now, there are certain Jewish traditions that include a lot of blessings. They tend to be more ritualistic and not necessarily from the heart. I'm going to read a few to you. I got this off of the internet. And one of them, they call it the Daily Hebrew, and I don't pronounce this right, Berkasho or whatever. Call it blessing. That's what it really is, the Hebrew blessing. It's a Jewish tradition requires that we personally bless the Lord for each detail of our daily experience. And it could be upon arising in the morning. It could be like a morning blessing. Could be grace, and they say their blessings after their meals, or they say when smelling fruit, and there's probably about 24 different things that are tied into that Hebrew or daily Hebrew blessing. Then their messianic blessing. Messianic blessings are recited in Hebrew with the intent of remaining true to the Jewish identity of Yahshua, or Jesus Christ, we refer him as. It could be a blessing for salvation, for the new covenant, blessing over bread, blessing for forgiveness, different things like that. Again, a whole bunch of different things which I don't want to get into. Then there's a Sabbath blessing or a Sabbath blessing. It says the Sabbath begins at sunset on Friday evening and ends Saturday night when three stars are visible in the sky. That's how the Jews determine sunset. It could be a blessing when they welcome the Sabbath, or a blessing for your wife, or a blessing for the children, blessing over Shula, which is Shula bread, and so on. All kinds of different ones. Then there's the synagogue blessing. It's when they enter the synagogue. A Torah reading blessing. Upon leaving services. These are different things that the Jews go through. Then they have what they call a holiday blessing, or the general holiday blessing. Rosh Hashanah blessings, Yom Kippur blessings, Purim blessings, Passover blessings, Sukkoth blessings, and so on, for all the different holy days. Then there's miscellaneous blessings they have for special occasions. Could be for weddings, for healing, experiencing a miracle, experiencing deliverance, and again, a whole bunch of other things that I'm not going to get into anymore. Then the final kind of blessing they have is what they call a biblical blessing. Some blessings come directly from the pages of Scripture themselves, including many from which they refer to as the Psalms. So you go through the Psalms and you'll see all kinds of different blessings. And they're also in Genesis and Chronicles and different books of the Bible that they list here. There's probably about 3 or 4 dozen. But I thought it was interesting what they have broken in about 7 different categories and different blessings within those categories. But again, it's more ritualistic than really from the heart. So let's now review a few blessings from the Bible. And we'll begin with Genesis. And it's amazing, but you look through the Bible, the word blessing is used so many times. Over 500 times, actually, when you look into it. So to me, when it's used that much, it has to be significant. It has to be meaningful to God and has to be meaningful to us. That's why I wanted to talk about this a bit. So turn to Genesis 1, verse 22. Here it says, God blessed them, saying, this is Adam and Eve, God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth, and so on. So he also wanted the animals to multiply, he wanted the people to multiply, and so on. But God looked at it as a blessing. He blessed them, it says. And over just a few pages over to Genesis 12. Again, I'm just going to pick a couple out, that's all. Genesis 12, 2-3. Talking about Abraham, he says, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. There we have it again. And make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, will curse him who curses you, and in you all families of the earth shall be blessed. Again, God emphasizing again, right from the beginning, blessings. Then we can go back a few more chapters to Genesis 22. Genesis 22, beginning at verse 15 to 18, it says, Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, referring to Isaac, blessing I will bless you. And multiplying, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven, as the sand which is in the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." Now talk about a blessing. I mean, the seed is going to multiply like the sand of the sea. Innumerable. And brethren, we are a blessed nation right here. God has blessed us tremendously. But again, this is in God's mind. That's what he wants to do for mankind. He wants them to be blessed. And one more in Genesis 48. Verses 15 and 16, it says, "And he blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has fed me all life long to this day, the angel who has redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads." Bless them. "Let my name be upon them, the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth." Again, tremendous blessings being passed on from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob and so on. So God had that in his mind, to really bless his people. Bless all mankind for that matter. Then we can go into the New Testament, just read a couple scriptures there in the New Testament. Go to James 1. James 1 verse 12. Notice he says, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life." Yes, we all endure temptation. But when we go through that and don't allow it to get hold of us, we will receive a crown of life. What is that crown? That's eternal life in God's kingdom. It says, "Which the Lord has promised to those who love him." So we are told we are going to be blessed tremendously. And one more in Revelation 1, verse 3. Revelation 1 verse 3 says, "Blessed is he who reads, those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near." And when we read those prophecies, when we read what is in Scripture, when we read what's in the book of Revelation, and keep those things, as it is said, as it is written, we will be blessed. So again, God wants to bless his people tremendously. Now there's a special, very famous and profound statement in Numbers 6. Numbers 6. Now, some churches use this to pass on blessings to their people and so on. But it's very profound, and it's very, very biblical, because it's written right here. Numbers 6, it started in verse 22, and it says, "The Lord spoke to Moses, saying," and he said, "Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them," now this is what he says to say, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them." Well, let's slow down here a little bit. It says, "The Lord bless you and keep you." What does that mean? Well, it means to guard, protect you, give you safety. "Then the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you and lift up his countenance." give you full attention in a very favorable way. That's really what that means. Give you full attention in a very favorable way. In other words, he's focusing in on you. Then it says, and give you peace. That could be wholeness, health, security, serenity, well-being, contentment, harmony, absence of conflict. That's the blessing God has promised on all of us. He wants to bless you and keep you, just like he says. Now, it was interesting, the General Conference of Elders this year, we didn't go, but we were tied in online. But right at the end, Robin Weber, in his closing comments to the GCE, used this scripture to pass on a blessing onto all in attendance. And it was very touching, really, the way he quoted it and expanded on it a bit. So he thought it was very important to pass that on to the whole conference of elders. And that's what he used, Numbers 6. I thought it was very meaningful. Then there's also a famous song. Maybe some of you remember it. It used to be in the old gray hymnal. Remember that old gray hymnal? Count your blessings, name them one by one. Well, that song was written in 1897. So it's a very old song. But it's a very meaningful song, really. What I often think, well, you know, when we're down, hurting, maybe discouraged or whatever, start counting our blessings. I'll guarantee you, if you start counting your blessings, if you have a negative feeling, that will soon become positive. Because all of us have so many blessings, and we'll get into a few in a minute. So when you go get down, start counting them. I'll read some of the words from that song. It's called Count Your Blessings. It says, when upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, could be going through trials, trouble, and what have you, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, it says, count your many blessings. Name them one by one. And it says, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. And then the chorus, count your many blessings. Now, I would not attempt to sing it to you. Maybe Arthur would if he was up here, but I wouldn't. The second verse is, are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Again, heavy trials. Well, it says, well, count your blessings. Every doubt will fly. And you will be singing as the days go by. And then the chorus again. And the last verse says, so amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged. God is over all. Count your many blessings. Angels will attend, help and comfort give you to your journey's end. And count your many blessings, name them one by one. Again, very meaningful, but it's basically telling us, yeah, when we go through trials and troubles, look at our blessings. Start counting them. See how it'll make us feel. And a lot of times, maybe we don't focus on our blessings enough, but God has blessed us tremendously. So what would you say would be a blessing to you? This isn't in any particular order, but I'll go through a few. First of all, I look at my calling, or our calling, as a tremendous blessing. How many people in the world have been called and chosen by God? I mean, God is going to use us when he returns. We are called, chosen, and faithful people. It's a tremendous blessing. Another blessing is just our life, being able to live like we do today. and in the future, eternal life. What a fantastic blessing, brethren. God wants us to live abundantly and live a good life today, and He wants to give us eternal life, life that will go on forever and ever. Now, if that's not a blessing, what is? Let's turn to John 10. John 10, 27 and 28, it says, He says, "My sheep," these are Jesus Christ's own words, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." In other words, Jesus Christ knows you. He knows me. He hears our voice. Or we hear His voice, I should say. "And I give them eternal life," He says, "and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand." What a fantastic promise. What a fantastic blessing. He wants to give us everlasting life. That's what He has promised us. Tremendous blessing. Then you could look at our families. Our husband, our wife, and our children. I would hope in most cases that the husband is a blessing to the wife. I would hope in most cases that the wife is a blessing to the husband. That's what God intended. I look at my wife as a tremendous blessing. And our children, tremendous blessings. A gift from God. Proverbs 18:22 says that a wife is a good thing. I don't like the word thing, but that's what the Bible says. You know, a wife is a blessing, a very big blessing for all of us. And we're told to live joyfully with her, not in conflict, but joyfully. Then that will be a tremendous blessing. Talks about children's children are a crown to old men. Now, some of us get a little bit older, yeah, we start to have grandchildren. And eventually great-grandchildren. Well, I guess the crown gets bigger and bigger. You know? They're a tremendous blessing. Turn to Psalm 127. Here it talks about 127, initially it says, "Unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain who build it." But then go down to verse 3, it says, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord." You could say a gift from God. "The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth." It says, "Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gates." So we're told that the man will be happy when his quiver is full. My quiver happens to be 3. Some people's quivers, like those people on TV, have 19. You know. Other people have 2, 1, whatever. But they are a blessing from God. And we should look at them as blessings. Oh, sure, sometimes they may rebel and say some naughty things, but, you know, there are things that all of us have gone through, but they still are a tremendous blessing, and that's the way we look at them. I know we have our daughter from California visiting us with our little grandson, and boy, what a guy. Tremendous blessing. Can't keep him quiet, though. He loves to talk. And he's a happy little guy, but I look at him as a fantastic blessing, you know. Another blessing is good health. There's many people, and we hear in the announcements all the time with people that have poor health and of cancer and what have you. But boy, if you have good health, consider that a big blessing from God. It really is. If you have a good job that you can provide for your family, that's a tremendous blessing. Because there's a lot of people that don't have good jobs. And I look at just the kingdom of God within hand's reach is a tremendous blessing. And God promised us that kingdom, along with eternal life, which we mentioned earlier. Another big blessing is the relationship we have with Jesus Christ and God the Father. You ever think of that tremendous relationship we have? He wants to have that relationship with us, so much so that He instituted the Sabbath and the holy days, so we can focus on Jesus Christ and God the Father. There's more focus on God the Father and Jesus Christ on the Sabbath and the holy days than any other time. Well, He put those days there for that purpose, because He wants that relationship. He also wants us to have that daily relationship through prayer and Bible study with Him. He wants to talk to us. Just like your children, you'd like to have your children talk to you and converse with you. Well, He wants us to talk to Him, and He wants to talk to us through Bible study. He looks at that as a very important relationship. Again, that's a blessing. It's a big blessing for us. Just having the Holy Spirit is a big blessing, because then we can become like Jesus Christ and God the Father. We can have the same characteristics as they have, and eventually be born into the family of God. God's favor or grace that He gives to us is a tremendous blessing. Because no matter what we do, we will sin. But it's through God's grace that He will forgive us. He will overlook those things. He knows that we are human beings. Jesus Christ knows what it's like to be a human being. And He can relate that to the Father as well. And there's other things like the peace of God. We have peace in this land. We go to the Feast of Tabernacles. We learn even more about peace. Tremendous blessing. Answered prayer. Our food, clothing, and shelter. Again, I could go on and on. You could make your own list. You'll probably fill a book with all the different blessings that God has for each and every one of us. Do we ever think of that? Like I say, these are only a few blessings that I'm giving you, but there are no doubt hundreds for everybody. Let's turn to Matthew 5 and notice our Sermon on the Mount. What it says. Matthew 5. You know, we all know this, but it's in this context of blessings. Let's read it with this in mind. It says in verse 3. Well, first of all, He said, and seeing the multitudes, He went on the mountain, and when He was seated with His disciples, He taught openly, or He opened His mouth and taught them, saying, and He says, notice, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Then blessed are those who mourn, for they are comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, so they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when they revile and persecute you, say all kinds of evil against you and falsely for my sake. Again, these are Christ's own words, and He's saying, blessed are you if you do these things. And again, we covered some of those things already, but there it all is together, showing blessed are we that do those things. Then, you know, there was also a good news article written in January, February Good News, 2015. And this was written by Robin Weber. And I thought it was very meaningful also. He calls it the seven Beatitudes of Revelation. He says this is really part of our central walk as a Christian. But these are all taken out of Revelation. And I'll just read a little wee bit of each. It says, "Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near." That's Revelation 1 verse 3, and I read that earlier. So it's very important for us to read God's word, listen to it, and act on it as well, of course. And the second one, he says, "And then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them." Right, taken from Revelation 14:13. The third one says, "Behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked, they see his shame." It's very important that we realize that Christ never stated that the end is here now, but rather the end is near. That's what Robin Weber writes. Another one says, "Blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb." Mentioned that earlier. "And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God." Taken from Revelation 19:9. So it's going to be a tremendous blessing for all of us to be part of that marriage to the Lamb. "And blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such a second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Revelation 20 verse 6. Again, other parts, and the Bible says it's the better resurrection. It's better than the second. It's a tremendous blessing, and you and I are called to be part of that. Very, very few in the world really will be part of that first resurrection. And 6, he says, "Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of this prophecy of the book." Revelation 22, verse 7. Again, you'll be blessed if you keep those. And the last one, "Blessed are those who do his commandments," or obey his commandments, "that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city." So this is what Robin Weber put together, and he called it the seven Beatitudes of Revelation. And I thought it was quite significant when I was looking into this subject. Suddenly this good news appeared. I thought it was very significant when you're talking about blessings. Now there's other things written in the Bible about blessings. And you know, right after the feast, the second Sabbath after the feast, we have the blessing of little children. Again, God looks at that as a very important thing. He wants us to become like little children in attitude. But he looked at this as a very important thing. So let's read it in Mark 10. Again, it is a blessing. Mark 10. Beginning in verse 13, it says, "Then they brought little children to him that he might touch them, but the disciples rebuked those who brought them. And when Jesus saw it, he said, he was greatly displeased and said to them, 'Let the little children come to me and do not forbid them.'" Those are Christ's words. He wanted them to come to him. "For such is the kingdom of God." It says, "Assuredly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. Verse 16, then he says, he took them up into his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. So Jesus Christ saw this as a very important thing, lessons to be learned from it for all of us. But it was the blessing of these cute little children. He probably even planted a kiss on each one. We don't know, you know. But he no doubt loved them greatly. Then there's another kind of blessing that we do ourselves every day, two or three times a day, depending on how many meals we eat. The blessing before a meal. And we get this from Jesus Christ, who did this. Go to Mark 6. Mark 6. Verse 41. Notice here he says, and when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven, blessed and broke the loaves. So he blessed the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fish he divided among them all. So no doubt he blessed the fish as well. But it was a blessing over the meal. And of course, when we have food to eat, we have to realize that it is a blessing from God. It's something that comes from God, and there's many people in the world don't have what we have. And it is indeed a blessing, and we need to thank God for it and ask God's blessing upon it. And that was Christ's example. That's what he did. And you know, in the Passover service, we do the same for the bread and the wine. We take the, before we eat the bread, it is being blessed by the minister up in front. And then the same with the wine, it's being blessed. So we have the example that our meals should be blessed, ask God's blessing on them. Because we have the example in Scripture to do that very thing. Now I want to speak about what you call spoken blessings. We kind of saw that in Scripture already, but I just want to address this separately. A spoken blessing is a positive biblical statement that invokes a blessing of God in the life of another. You know, our words can do good or they can do harm. God wants us to speak good words that will help somebody. And that's a blessing to those people. But Proverbs 12, verse 25 says, anxiety in the heart of man causes depression. And that will cause somebody to be depressed. But, it says, but a good word makes it glad. That's the importance of a good word. It makes it glad. It's a blessing. Now, if you are convicted in your mind by God to bless someone, what you want to do is try to discern the person's needs so that you can determine the type of blessing you wish to give him or her. Suppose a person is struggling with fear and anxiety. We just read about anxiety in Proverbs 12, verse 25. Suppose they are struggling with that. Now we know in 2 Timothy 1, 7 that God doesn't want us to be fearful. He wants us to have the spirit of power, of love, and a sound mind. We know that. But suppose somebody is struggling with fear and anxiety. Well, you could use number 6, 24 to 26, as a model for a blessing. You could create a blessing as follows. I'll just mention this. You could say, well, may the Lord God bless you. and keep you from the torments of fear and anxiety. May he cause his face to shine upon you with his power and love. And may he give you a sound mind. Through his perfect love, may God give you grace to cast out fear. Again, you could put your own words in there, but that would be a possibility to help a person get rid of that anxiety and fear by using number 6 as a model. And it says also, may he lift up his countenance upon you with freedom as you tell him every detail of your need in earnest, thankful prayer. And may he give you his peace that surpasses all understanding as he keeps your heart and mind safe through Jesus Christ. Again, it is using number 6. You can look at anything and put your words or your own words in. We need to become familiar with scriptural blessings so we can be spoken to others, brethren. Now, how do you bless your children? Well, we often say, well, we bless our children all the time. Give them toys upon toys upon toys. Whether they like them or not, right? Well, they do. Well, a blessing as described in Scripture includes several elements to it, two of which I will address. And one element is meaningful and appropriate touch and a spoken message. We saw in Jesus Christ's example, really. Well, what do we mean by meaningful and appropriate touch? Well, meaningful touch was essential in bestowing a blessing in Old Testament homes. For example, take Isaac when he went to bless his son. Turn to Genesis 27. Verse 26, it says, then his father Isaac said to him, come near now and kiss me, my son. There's meaningful touch. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled his clothing and blessed him and said, surely the smell of my son is like the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. Each time a blessing was given in Scripture, a meaningful touch as kissing, hugging, or laying on your hands were all part of bestowing a blessing. He saw Jesus Christ. He picked up the child in his arms and blessed them. That's physical touch. The touching part actually communicates a warmth or personal acceptance, affirmation, and even physical health. And you know, if you pick up your grandchildren or your own little children, that means a lot to them. It shows that you love them. It's very meaningful to them. And they seem to love it. Very few don't love it. Most really, really do love it. It's just part of showing them love and acceptance and so on. Then the spoken message, the second part is, it fulfills its purpose when it is actually verbalized, spoken in person. Spoken or written words gives a child an indication that he or she is worthy of attention. You tell them they are important, that you love them. That's a big blessing to them. It shows that they really are important to you. That means more than any toy that you could give them, really. Of course, if you attach a toy to it, that's good too. You know, Abraham spoke his blessing to his son Isaac. Then Isaac spoke a blessing to his son Jacob. Jacob gave a verbal blessing to each of his 12 sons and two of his grandchildren. Then you look at it, when God blessed us with the gift of his son, it was his word that became flesh and dwelt among us. So the spoken message is very important. It's important that we verbalize blessings to our children, brethren. Very important. Now I can ask, well, how do we bless God? Remember at the beginning I said, will we also bless God? Well, how do we do it? Well, God desires to be blessed by you and I. He wants blessings as well. In simple words, we bless God by obeying him. Obeying his Ten Commandments, his principles. Doing what he says. It gives God great delight in seeing his children doing what he says. It's just like ourselves with our children. If they do what we say, aren't we happy about that? Doesn't it give us a lot of joy and delight? It's the same thing with the Father and with Jesus Christ. Give them a lot of delight and joy. That's a blessing for them. We also bless God by communicating with him via prayer and Bible study. That's a blessing for him. You know, he wants us to be Christ-like and eventually be born into the divine family. And then God is earnestly looking forward to that particular day. He wants every person to be made in his complete image. And that truly will be a fantastic blessing to God the Father and Jesus Christ. Tremendous blessing. That's what he's looking forward to. Like I said at the beginning of the sermon, God desires to bless us and all mankind. He really does. He wants to share everything he has with us. And it's amazing, but the word blessing, like I mentioned earlier, or the variation of the word, is used actually 526 times in Scripture. Or throughout the Bible. So if it's used that much, I'm sure it must be important. I guess I would conclude that blessings are in the forefront of God's mind. God wants you and I to be aware of not only our blessings, but how we too can bless God the Father and Jesus Christ. We can. I'm going to close with one psalm, Psalm 145. I think it kind of ties everything that we said together. Psalm 145 says here, I will extol you, my God, O King. I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another, and shall declare your mighty acts. I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty, and on your wondrous works. Men shall speak of the might of your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness. Now, when God hears some of these things from us, it really must make him feel good and be happy and be really feel blessed. They shall utter the memory of your great goodness and shall sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All your works shall praise you, O Lord, and your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts, the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord upholds all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look expectantly to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, gracious in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He also will hear their cry and save them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but the wicked he will destroy. My mouth shall speak of the praise of the Lord, and all flesh shall bless his holy name forever and ever. Now, to me, that's quite a psalm. When you think of all the different things we covered, pretty well sums everything up. At least in my mind, it does. So it wouldn't hurt, rather than just reading Count Your Many Blessings or counting them, read this psalm also. If you get down, and it should really lift you up. So may the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you and so on.